Hello, lovely souls. Welcome to this episode of Unraveling. I am Lauren Barber and I am so, so grateful to share this space with you. I would really love to invite you to take a few moments before we begin, just to ground yourself wherever you are, whether you're in motion, driving, walking, whether you're sitting, whether you're no matter where you are in this moment, just take a few moments just to land wherever you are and just come back to your body and maybe close the eyes if it's safe to do so, or maybe just bring a hand to the heart and just invite a sense of curiosity and openness as we move into this podcast episode. And take a few breaths wherever you are. And just allow the body just to settle into a receptive space. I like to open as many spaces as possible with just a few moments just to connect in. So I will intend to do that more on the podcast, just to arrive into our space before I start to explore the topic that is on my heart today. And the topic that is on my heart today has been on my heart for quite a long time, and I feel like now is the time to talk about it, to share. And of course, with these episodes, everything is this unraveling process that is very much around my lived experience, but I share in the hope that it resonates on some level, that it speaks to you in some way. And of course, not every episode I share is going to resonate. Not every piece of information that I share is going to land, and that's okay. And I just trust that the people that are guided to each episode will be so guided, be guided, because there is a calling, there is a kind of an energetic magnetism really to the words and to the transmission. So without going on more about that, I will introduce today's topic of conversation. And I've been feeling quite called recently to dive into more topics around motherhood. This podcast is never going to be around one sole topic. I've kind of dabbled in so many different areas. It's always going to be a space where I talk about so many different things, and that's going to be dependent on the phase of life I'm in and the season and what's coming up and what's surfacing. But my promise to you is that I will always be open and honest and raw and transparent in my experience of things. And currently my daughter is two years and nearly 5 months old, and I am right in the thick of early motherhood, and I know I will be there for some time. And I guess what's really present within me at the moment is navigating so many different things alongside motherhood, and this sort of knowing that motherhood is like, being a mother is absolutely at the core of me, but also are so many other things. And so I'm planning to do a little series around kind of unraveling some of the topics that I feel are not spoken about, or not spoken about widely. You know, I'm starting to have deeper conversations with connections with other people where we do feel safe to open up around certain things, but there are so many unspoken words. And I've really found that, and actually quite a lot of similarities. There's so many unspoken words in the world of business, which is obviously another big passion of mine, but there's so many unspoken words around motherhood, and I want to touch on one particular area of this today. And my intention for these episodes is that they're not going to be long, really drawn out episodes. Of course, I do ramble, and you know, I will just sort of talk as long as feels right, but these are just kind of snippets, and if it lands with you, then please let me know, because for me, a big part of the reason I do this podcast is is for genuine connection with people and to allow parts of ourselves to be witnessed and seen for their complete transparency. So today what I'm unraveling and what I've been unraveling for some time is one of the things that I don't feel is spoken about, and I kind of, one of those like no one tells you things about becoming a mother. And it's not, you know, there are so many things that you kind of, you know, that I didn't know until I was in the throes of motherhood. And of course, I am learning every single day. But this particular topic is a topic that's really close to my heart anyway. And that is around nervous system and stress and around this kind of the thing that I didn't expect, or I didn't really fully understand, or I didn't know would happen, is this need to completely recalibrate and in terms of my nervous system, and to learn how to be in a new like levels of tolerance around like how much I could hold in terms of my nervous system response. And what I mean by that is I didn't realize that by becoming a mother and opening my heart in a way that I just never knew was possible. And that is one of the greatest gifts that motherhood has given me, is this this real true experience of a love that is so fierce, so strong, so soft at the same time, and you know, a love that I didn't know existed and I could feel. You know, motherhood gave me that beautiful gift. Having Sophia has given me that incredible gift. But what I didn't fully understand is, in opening my heart up to this feeling more and feeling a full spectrum of emotions, because we can't, you know, we can't choose to only feel the, you know, the good, in inverted commas, the good emotions. We either feel nothing or we feel everything. And I had kind of, you know, my nervous system had kind of kept me in a fairly safe, steady space where for quite a long time, where I was learning to feel again, but I wasn't quite there. And motherhood kind of was a catalyst for me to literally just like throw me into feeling everything. And I had a choice to either kind of close down and not feel that as much, or to allow that opening and that expansion to stay. But what I didn't realize is that in order to hold those feelings and experience that amount of love, and what, you know, when we love that deeply, it comes with an element of risk. It comes with some fear, with some anxiety about, you know, what if it was taken away, and or what if something happened to that, or what if something, you know, there was something that kind of prevented that from being felt. And in order to feel that and to be okay with all those feelings, like my nervous system had to completely readjust. So whereas I was able to hold these feelings when it was just around me, when I became a mother, my nervous system had to go through a complete and utter recalibration to hold those feelings and that amount of love and the risk that it came with, that comes with that love, and to really, really expand my window of tolerance, really. You know, we talk about our like level of tolerance when it comes to our nervous system and how much stress we can take and how much we can hold. Now, I have always been on the sensitive side and on the prone to worry side, and anxiety has been a teacher of mine for a long time. And so I am, you know, possibly more, my tolerance level is possibly lower than somebody else's. Like, we all have a different level of tolerance. But for me, what I really truly didn't know was how much that love was going to make me also feel so uncomfortable and so scared, and also kind of, I had to learn to adjust to living with my heart open, which meant living in this sort of in a higher, I guess, a more heightened state of awareness, which does feel like anxiety at times, and does feel more on the edge of, like, it's closer to the edges. There's a more fragility. There's more potential to drop into a really heightened state of anxiety. And it was almost like at first I was really fighting it, because I was like, I shouldn't feel like this. And then I realized that I was going through this kind of like growth period, and I still am, to be honest, but this growing in terms of adjusting, readjusting, realigning, recalibrating to live my life with this heightened state. You know, like, from a practical point of view, we are on high alert when we are looking after children, especially, you know, when, like, at all different levels. I think, you know, obviously I can only speak to the years that I have been, you know, Sophia for the last couple of years. So there is so much at stake, and there is so much around, you know, our natural instincts are to protect and to keep our children safe. And with that comes like being on high alert all the time. Like, our senses are literally open. And I think, I don't know, you know, I can, as I say, I can only speak from my own experience, but I, you know, my sleep is lighter. I am constantly, like, there is never a time where I'm not contemplating, you know, like, you know, Sophia's not there. Even when I'm not with her, she's always in my mind. And there's like this level of risk involved. There's this level of kind of getting comfortable with feeling those, that sense of being on high alert. And I think this isn't really spoken about. So I feel like often when we come into motherhood, we have these anxious feelings and we have these worries. And, you know, I thought there was lots of worries. I used to, you know, I still do. But I spent a period of time really, really like feeling a lot of worry about what if something happened to me, and feeling like hypervigilant around my health and around like keeping myself safe, and also of course keeping Sophia safe. And it was like, it became a bit of an issue in that I was, you know, I felt really anxious. I felt really on edge all the time. And I kept thinking like, oh, there's something wrong with me. Oh, my anxiety's back, and da da da, all of these kind of quite judgmental thoughts. And it wasn't until I sat there and I was like, no, this is like, I'm going through the readjustment period, and that's not going to happen overnight. Like, I have got to learn to adjust to feeling a heightened state without like pushing myself over the edge. But also it really reinforced to me the importance of supporting my nervous system and constantly looking at ways that I can downregulate my nervous system from the sympathetic response, which is our fight, flight and freeze response, to our parasympathetic nervous system which is our rest and digest mode. So, you know, from a physical point of view, there may be things like, you know, digestion, reproductive issues, you know, like there's lots of things that our body might be feeling because we're in this heightened state. But then there's also a lot of things, a lot of like mental thoughts. We might be like over focusing on specific like negative outcomes of things. And I think that it's really important to talk about it, because I think it's pretty normal to feel like this, but I don't think anyone ever explained to me that that's what would happen, that like I needed to allow myself some time to really, really focus on downregulating my nervous system. And if anything, I think it's probably one of the most important parts about postpartum, about like once you've had a baby, once you are kind of living, you know, once you enter motherhood, it's like, actually, I mean, and I think, you know, motherhood or no motherhood, nervous system support is absolutely imperative, especially in like quite a stressful world. But particularly, I think we, you know, it is often the last thing we think about to do, you know, like, oh, it feels like a bit of an indulgence to go and meditate or to go and do something that's really soothing and downregulating for our nervous systems. But actually, it's crucial. And so I wanted to just share a few things that I think might help, hopefully would help, but just some things that I've noticed within myself that I just feel called to share. And so the first thing really is just to be aware of when you are in that like hypervigilant state, and that like where the thoughts go, what your worries are, and you know, and just if you're noticing that you feel on edge all the time, or you feel more prone to panic attacks, or more prone to anxious thoughts, or more, you know, if you feel that kind of almost like jittery state, or you're not sleeping properly, or you're constantly kind of like almost getting that adrenaline rush where you know, of fear, notice it. Notice it and acknowledge it and be aware of it. Because I think when we start to see our patterns and see what our behavior, then we can start to look at ways that we can support ourselves. So really, really notice how you're feeling. And this for me is a lot about taking a few moments, like witnessing your breath, seeing how you're breathing. The breath is a really telling signal for us. If we're breathing into our chest and our breath is very short, or we don't feel like we can get that lovely breath or big breath, or we're not, you know, or we just, you know, holding our breath even, that's, you know, that's kind of a signal to you. Or maybe it is things like your digestion's off, or your sleep is really irregular, or you just find yourself like overdwelling on things. Like notice it all, but with gentleness and with compassion. And then when you do notice it, think about ways that you can soothe yourself in that moment. So effectively what we want to do is like when we are in that state of heightened awareness, and when we feel our nervous system kind of, you know, in that state of, oh my God, I need to like, I feel really panicky, or I need to run from this. I need to like fight this. I need to, you know, or this need to just kind of stop and freeze and just kind of retreat and hide away. If we notice that, like, how can we soothe ourselves in the moment? So that for me looks like slow exhales, like belly breaths, allowing my body to soften. It looks like grounding my feet on the floor. These are very practical things. It's hand on my heart, soothing myself. It might be holding my hands, rubbing my hands together to generate some heat or some warmth, hugging myself. It might be orientating myself in my space, noticing five things that I can see, or tastes, smells, like being very much around kind of coming to presence. And then just considering yourself almost as if you were, you know, looking after and soothing your child. Like what would feel soothing to you in that moment? It might be drinking a hot drink. It might be speaking to someone that you trust. It might be connection with another being. It might be asking for help from someone. It might be getting out and breathing into the fresh air, even like just opening the window and taking a breath of fresh air if you can't get outside. It might be going into nature, taking yourself into nature, going out for a walk, looking at all those ways. And I find it's really helpful to actually make a list of all the things that you find soothing, like before you get into these places, because then you can almost come back to them. Maybe keep it notes on your phone or something, a list of all the things that really soothe you, so that when you're in that moment, you can almost come back to those. But beyond that is actually almost like the proactive approach, which is instead of letting it get to the point where you are on the edge. And believe me, I still do this. Like it's always an ongoing lesson for me, but it happens less now. finding ways that you can really, like, when we talk about self-care, like, it's often thought about like bubble baths and massages and stuff like that, and that's all amazing. But actually, what I think is the most crucial part of self-care is to commit and devote yourself to daily nervous system soothing practices. And again, they can look very different for different people. But for me, it is meditation. It is gentle breath work. It is movement, yoga, my yoga practice. It is going out into nature. It is eating foods that I know are nourishing to me and that will balance my blood sugar and not put me on a roller coaster. It means not drinking caffeine. It means not having like coffees and lots of tea and loads of like refined food and processed sugars. Like, not because there's anything like, you know, inherently wrong or bad about those things, but just that I know that they don't support my nervous system. It means maybe exercise. It means journaling. It means taking a few moments before bed to just, you know, write down some gratitude. There are so many ways that I think we can start to, we need, you know, I don't want to say the word should, but I do think it is imperative to our ability to thrive in motherhood, in human being, in being a human, to be honest, not just in motherhood, but particularly in motherhood. I think that it's essential that we do this. It's essential that we soothe our nervous systems, because when stuff happens, and it does happen, you know, it does happen, and we are on high alert, I think it's a case of just, we need to be even more proactive about some of these practices as a kind of maintenance thing. Because if we are more, if we spend some time every day down-regulating our nervous system, being in that parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest and digest, so many things will, it's like a signal to our body that you're safe, you're okay, you're safe. And if we don't carve out that time, it doesn't tend to happen. So I think it's really important that we start to kind of maybe implement some of that. And I also think that being proactive with it, you know, we want to, you know, from my point of view, I want to be able to be present with Sophia. I want to be able to deal with her emotions. And if I'm not supporting my regulation of my nervous system and I am activated by some of her behaviors or emotions, then I can't be the grounding safe space for her. And also, our children, like, they use us to regulate. And if we're not regulated, if we're not feeling soothed and calm, and I don't say this because I don't want to bring any sense of like shame to anybody, because I can 100% tell you I am not always like this. I do not always stay grounded. I shout. I lose my patience. I cry, I stomp, I kick, I scream, you know, like I have my own versions of tantrums. But when I'm practicing more of these relaxation response activating practices, I don't do those things as much. And I can cope in the moments. And I might need to then take some time after something's happened to then go and like do some extra soothing. But actually, it's like I'm allowing my body to process it. But in the moment, I can actually stay grounded, and I can still be Sophia's safe space. And I can still feel safe in myself. And I think that's really important. So I think having some form of a devotion to these practices is really, really crucial in our ability to role model to our children what it's like to support our nervous system. We do live in a very stressful world, and the last 2 years have heightened everything. So even, you know, I think even the most calm, grounded people, their nervous systems will have taken a bit of pressure over the last couple of years. Add on to that whatever's going on in your life. Like, we have to be aware of our ability to deal with these stresses. And so I think we have to ramp up our are nervous system self-care practices. So I urge you now to think about maybe some ways, and it doesn't have to be hours and hours of time. It can be little snippets. And I think the benefits of doing this on a regular basis, like meditation, for example, is wonderful in, you know, as a one-off, but it's an accumulative practice. So the more we do it, the more we're going to feel the benefits, the more our body is used to dropping into our calm, rest, digest, relax state, and the easier we'll be able to access it when we need it. So think of it as a skill that we need to learn, is to be able to soothe ourselves a little bit more. And I think that we're always going to get tested and challenged in our practices. So just because, you know, if you find yourself like use your nervous system as a bit of a gauge, I suppose. Like if you feel you're reacting and you're not able to deal with the stressors as well, that's a signal to, okay, what can I do to soothe myself? What can I do to soothe myself in the moment? But what can I start to implement to help me then, you know, be able to deal with these more? You'll notice it in the way you are, and you'll notice how you feel. And the most important thing is to just be, I would say, just really start gently, little tiny moments, like three breaths. Some of the things I do in the morning to ground myself, I do journal, and I am grateful the fact that I do get up quite early, and that's fine and that works for me. And I'm up before Sophia. Like my rituals and my things that anchor me is having a shower, having a few moments just to write down some words, maybe an affirmation or a word that I want to anchor into the day, taking some time to meditate, even if it's just 2 minutes. I always open the window in the morning and take three breaths. That's like a non-negotiable. I open the window, I look outside, I notice the weather, like notice what's around me, check in with the environment, and I'll take three slow breaths. You can take a slow breath anytime, anywhere. Find a few little tools that you can anchor to. Hopefully something I've mentioned in this episode will maybe have landed and you could think, yeah, I could do that. Three things you're grateful for at any point of the day. Three breaths anytime. Feeling your feet on the floor. Looking around your space. Naming five things you can see. Saying it out loud. Listening to music. Dancing. Moving your body. Having a really, like, putting your hands around a mug of tea and actually sipping it. You know, even if you only get one mouthful. Hot drinks, I think warming drinks, like soothing the body is really important. And actually one of the things I did was I got a flask very early on, and I would make myself a tea at the beginning of the day. And I would know that I could just pour out like even just a mouthful, and I could always access it. Geez, these are just little tiny things that accumulatively they add up, and they do help. They do help to anchor us, like these little rituals, little things that help us feel stable and grounded throughout the day. And I think finally, I just want to reiterate how you're not alone in whatever you're feeling. The more and more I speak openly and have the courage to talk about my real life lived experiences and the emotions and the feelings that I have in motherhood, the more I am having such powerful conversations with others who resonate and who make me feel less alone. And do not underestimate the power of connecting with someone else that just feels like they understand you and they see you. Make it a priority to surround yourself with those people, to find those people. If they're not obviously around you, then maybe, you know, looking at spaces that you enjoy hanging out in, and maybe, you know, reaching out and cultivating those relationships. Because, you know, this is a whole topic for a whole nother day, but, you know, we aren't supposed to do this as humans. We're not supposed to be doing this alone, let alone doing motherhood, but, you know, like being a mother, we're not supposed to do it on our own. And so, like, getting in touch with someone when you feel unsettled or when you're really, really struggling is so important, just so you can be heard. And also offering that to others, you know, asking how other people are feeling and actually offering that safe space to be the witness, to listen to others. Like, I think that's really underestimated. And conversations with others is so soothing to our nervous system. We are designed to be in social situations. And of course, the pandemic and everything that's happened has really taken a lot of that away. But I think if we can find little ways to just have the courage to say to someone, I'm struggling a bit today. Have you got the space to just hear me out? Or, you know, can we arrange to have like a Zoom tea day? Or can we actually see each other in person? Can we meet at the park? You know, the days where I'm with others and mothering at the same time are the days where I get the most joy out of motherhood, if I'm honest. I find the days on my own really challenging. And it's because we're not really supposed to be doing it on our own. So, if you can find ways, and I know that it's very much like, it's very dependent on circumstances. So you may be listening to this and being like, but I can't do that. You know, I honor that. And I understand that it's not easy. But reach out to me. Please reach out to me. I am here. I love hearing from anyone who wants to speak about honest motherhood. Honestly, email me, voice note me, whatever. I really am receptive to that. Because to me, that fosters connection, and that's everything to me. That connection with other people is everything to me. And of course, if you are really struggling and these thoughts are consuming you, then please talk to someone, talk to a professional, talk to a therapist. When Sophia was about a year old, I worked with a therapist. I also had some CBT. I needed to be heard. I needed to say things that I was scared of saying because I didn't know if they were normal. And I needed a safe space to do that. And actually, it was so worthwhile because it took the power out of some of the things I was worrying about. It took that like edge out of them. And so please, if you can and you really need it, then don't be shy about seeking out professional support. You can go to the doctors, the GPs, and it might take some time, but you can self-refer as well. And there are lots of different options. Of course, this depends very much on location, but you know, there are ways. If you need help, then please, please ask for it. We need to really learn or relearn how to be okay with asking for help. It's been a huge lesson for me. And again, a topic for another day. So that's really what I wanted to say. And of course, I have kind of gone on quite a lot, but there's just a lot is pouring out of me. And I have quite a lot of fire and passion around talking about this subject. And I'm speaking very much, as I said, from my own experience, but I hope that something might land in some shape or form. And I guess I just want to honour this journey that you're on, and just say that I see you. You know, I know I don't necessarily know who's listening to this podcast, but I see and witness these incredible, incredible people doing these incredible things, raising these wonderful humans, these little souls that we've been entrusted with, guiding them, being their guardians. And it is such a gift, but it's also extremely challenging and an intense, wild ride. So I think understanding and acknowledging the polarization of motherhood is really, really important. And so if you feel like you are a complete, you know, bundle of contradictory thoughts and emotions, me too. I am also that. So as I said, if you want to continue this conversation, then please do. You can email me, You can contact me on Instagram. You can get in touch. All the details are in the show notes. But my Instagram handle is Lauren Sarah Barber. My email address is lauren@laurenbarber.co. And I'm always open for conversations around this. So I'm going to leave it at that. Let's just take a breath together just to close this episode and this time together. So take your hand onto your heart. Take a nice breath in and a breath out. And I just want to say thank you so much for sharing this space with me. I am so honored that you chose to devote your time to listening to this episode, and I will see you again soon.